entered the building.
Welcome to PTB NXT. We are back for another wonderful episode. Fact, this is the best NXT podcast on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. In fact, my co-hosts are Mr. Tim Capel and the pride of Asbury, New Jersey, Jennifer Smith. What's up, guys?
What up, Jake? How are you?
I'm good. Would you like to divulge the meaning behind the Asbury, New Jersey thing, or should we just keep it completely cryptic?
No, I don't feel I need to explain that at all.
Well, just check out a different podcast, that of the apparently missing Conan, which is not a Place Me Nation podcast. So I say this with some reluctance. I wouldn't consider it a plug, but all will make sense if you do listen to, a few seconds of that podcast anyway. And I don't have a timestamp, so I guess you're SOL.
But we should say that Jenny is close personal friends with Conan.
I am. So, yes.
Very much.
And
we're tight.
That's the crux of it. But anyway, we're back in the saddle for some more wonderful episodes of NXT TV as we're kind of still making our way towards a big show. I think we're still a ways off before we hit anything big. Mm-hmm. Tim, would you like to remind us of our previous developmental names? Because as time is what it is, I do not remember at all.
Fact, I do have our NXT developmental names in front of me. Fact, I have no recollection of receiving these names in the first place. So, suggestive of the fact that we may have been quite enhanced when we did this exercise last time. Quite. So currently, Jake, you are known as Gay Blast Body.
All right.
And I wrote down, I spelled gay as G-A-Y-E.
Correct.
As one does. Yeah. Jenny, you are... I feel like I might have switched these around. I don't think you're Bronson Poutine.
Oh, wait, I am, I think.
Are you?
What was
Gay and Bronson sound like I might have flipped the genders on this, but in any case, like it matters.
I don't think Bronson could be a lady.
Our hypothetical listeners are screaming right now.
I shouldn't assume gender. I know. I am Hunk Underwood.
Yes, of course you are.
Yes.
Perhaps a name that can be employed in a different industry.
Underwood.
Like what?
You're right. Professional wrestling is
the only one.
Pretty much the only one.
Commercial real estate.
Here's something. Our next names are more memorable.
Yeah. We'll try.
I have the first one pulled up already. So our first developmental name, which is one that could be, I think, we should say we're saying whether these names are traditionally female or male, but the first one I think could fit both, and that would be Boss Punch Beef.
Wow. Okay.
So I believe that will be me. I will be Boss Punch Beef, which certainly would make it seem as if the low blow is a key component of my repertoire offensively. Boss seems like punch beef.
Well, it kind of goes along with that saying, two big hosses slapping meat.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. I could definitely see that as they're trying to push, like, kind of the hoss thing, and they're like, he's full of beef or something. Like, and then the crowd's like, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Yeah.
So it's punch
that's your chant. That's your chant.
Yeah. Where's the beef? Where's the beef?
I can hear it now.
We want punch beef. but yeah, it definitely seems like it'd be a more rotund individual here, which I feel like all of mine is a rotund individual, but that's probably appropriate.
Howie Simpson, maybe a few developmental cycles back might not have been that beefy of a man.
So Tim, I think I'm going to skip to you because I just got one. I think is very fitting for you. Has a bit of a French flair, I would say, on the surname here, and that would be Mr. Lance Roulier.
Oh,
hey. Lance Roulier.
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 I don't know how to spell that. I just put
down. I don't either. I was just about to ask.
R O U L L I E R, I believe.
Ah.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Like David.
Like David Roulier. Amazing.
You may be associated with Sylvester LaFour and the Legionnaires, the highly successful stable.
All right. I can work with it.
They saw them and they're like, you know what? They just need another member.
They do.
Because next undisputed era.
LaFour is a great leader of that.
Yes. They're grooming me in the back.
Exactly.
So. Okay. For the first time ever, I'm getting some repeats from the creative
really?
Team.
So,
I'm having to regenerate because we've been through so many that, or at least one part of the name, and has been recycled. Like I just got one with floppy sex in it, so maybe they're gonna go back to floppy. That part was okay. We just gotta change the. But I think we have a good one here. I definitely think this would be a cruiserweight. For sure. Maybe like a 205 live staple, which, you know, is a recipe for big money. But
Can't wait.
Scooter Pollock.
Wow.
Scooter Pollock. I'm trying to find different ways to deliver it. Scooter Pollock.
Wow. Okay. So he's kind of the
roller derby gimmick.
maybe the scrappy details. I'm thinking more like the scrappy do to Jackson Pollock's Scooby Doo. So you've got famous, like a
famous beloved character Scrappy Doo.
Yeah. Absolutely. So very you're doing a lot of drip painting in the ring.
Right.
Jackson Pollock based gimmick.
Yeah. Very avant-garde.
I don't think the NXT universe is gonna get it. If I'm being honest.
Well,
don't worry. They'll beat them over the fucking head whether they do get it.
Right. Thank you. Exactly.
They'll give like 400.
A sassy name. I'm down with it.
Well, you got to make it to the main roster, and they're gonna drop the Pollock part and just call you Scooter.
Right, Scooter, I like it.
Until you win a name regeneration match.
Right, and then I get to reclaim it.
Name regeneration. It kind of reminds me too. I feel like I've seen a lot of off-brand cereals called like Scooters, like Great Value Cheerios, like Honey Nut Scooters or something like that. For some reason makes me think of that. Or like Fruit Loops, like Fruit Scooters. So again, always good
the cereal gimmick. Yes,
not even like a name brand cereal, an off-brand cereal.
All of my finishers named after cereals.
Vince was eating some cereals. Like, God damn it, pal. Just kidding. You don't need carbs.
I need your post-match gimmick to be not hitting someone with a nightstick, not electrocuting them with a shock stick or laying a giant reptile across their body, but stuffing a drop cloth into their mouth.
Exactly.
You can have like the Tajiri like green mist, but you like just throw paint in their face.
Yeah.
Like how the NWO would spray paint people, you just do like a quick avant-garde
call it the airbrush.
Yes, yeah, so you just throw a bunch of paint on them, but
Scooter Pollock just squirted and punched his face.
All right, well, okay. I have a feeling these are not going to work out, so I feel like we'll be back.
Yeah, we will not remember these next time, so that'll be fine.
No, these were not the greatest ever, but, you know.
Well, I've got them, so we're square.
Keep cash checks, but all right, but we are hot and heavy in the summer of 2014 here. Our first episode will be the July 17th, 2014 episode of NXT TV, and we will come in immediately with a tag match between the recently reunited Enzo and Cass. who they're not calling Big Cass. They're still calling him Colin Cassidy at this point. And they will be facing a relatively new team in the Vaudevillains. So kind of a, you know, not a local talent match for sure to start us off. The big return of Enzo and Cass, like I said. Regal calls Enzo DDP's love child, which cracks Tom Phillips. Tom Phillips kind of loses composure a bit. He's usually pretty straight-laced with all this, but that kind of cracks him up a little bit. Enzo is in some, like, leopard pajama pants. And we get the usual elaborate black and white entrance for the Vaudevillains. And Regal also says that Gotch's sister is a bearded lady in the circus. He may think Enzo is his sister. So he may not want to punch him because it would be equal to punching his sister. So that's kind of where we are. This, the match, not a whole lot. I thought there would be a little bit more to this match, but they kind of just do a little bit of basic stuff for a couple minutes until Cass gets distracted by the entrance of the Legionnaires. And he gets rolled up by Simon Gotch, costing them the match and their big return. That's about it for this match. I went a half a star. What did you think, Jenny?
Okay, so I gave it a star because I don't even know, because all these matches on NXT are like squash matches. So it's like, how do you rate these things anyway? But I went a star on it because I like the Vaudevillains. I like their black and white gimmick. And I liked the grappling at the beginning of the match with Enzo and Aiden. I thought Aiden looked pretty good. I was curious that Enzo broke his leg at a foam party. Had we discussed that previously?
That hasn't come up previously. No.
I did not think so, but I did not realize that that was the injury that had kept him from his tag team partner this entire time. But it seems in character for him, so I thought that was funny. The ending was like, what the hell? Like, the Legionnaires didn't even say anything. They didn't cut a promo. Huh? They just came out, and then, boom, there goes the roll-up in the pin for fucking Simon Gotch. I was like, okay. I see what they're doing. You know, they're starting these tag teams, getting some feuds, getting some stories going, and that's fine. I didn't mind it. I just kind of wish, like, maybe there was a promo or something in there. But I like the Vaudevillains, and this wasn't too bad. So one star for me.
So I gave it a dud. primarily, as a match itself, it's probably worth, I feel like, I don't know, half a star if it had had, like, a real finish. But I deducted points for the distraction roll-up finish. Main roster trope that triggered me, and I hate it. So, I mean, we didn't dip into negative stars, so it's not as damning as I could have been. But I, you know, for what it was and to have that ridiculous finish, I just could not really find any merit here. I also have written down that Aiden does not look nearly pale enough in this match. And that's kind of upsetting to me. I mean, I know it's the summer and all, but, you know, and you do, your entrance is in black and white, but I don't want there to be any contrast in his actual skin tone and color versus black and white. And there was far too much.
Tim's very upset that he needs his wrestlers to be
quite pale. Pure white. Yes.
I need Aiden certainly to be quite pale.
Yeah. You don't think it's plausible they were distracted by Sylvester the Four's rocking abs? You think that could have been part of it? That they saw
I think
all
it's plausible I would have been, but I don't think it's plausible that they would have been.
Yeah. It definitely seems like they wanted to get both teams on screen, but they definitely didn't want either one to lose because they're both teams that they're seemingly trying to build up, so then they had to go with this kind of goofy shit. But,
I mean, I guess if anything, I'm glad it wasn't long enough. It wasn't longer. If it had been like more of a competitive match and then ended like that, I probably would have dinged it harder. But I don't know. I feel just
harder than a dud.
The harder. I mean, I can do negative stars. So.
Whoa. Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to get an Enzo and Cass versus the Legionnaires, which was sure to be a hot program.
Yes, can't wait for that one.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of the tag team division, we head to our very dominant tag team champions as they cut. We see a pre-taped promo by the Ascension, who say that they will always be the hunters while others will always be the prey. And that was pretty much the thesis of this. What do we think of the Ascension as a promo here? Like, just their overall, I guess, because we don't really see many promos for them, at least not like a backstage sort of promo. So what do we think of their delivery here?
I like the old school nature of the presentation. I did not think that the Ascension in particular were all that convincing delivering a promo in that style. I mean, they're not great talkers anyway, but it was, as we have said on many occasions past, the Road Warriors, they are not.
Right. It's unnecessary. We don't need a promo from them. All they do is squash motherfuckers. They never have any competition. Like, there's nothing there. Like, why? This is stupid.
Yeah, of course there was the hunters, because all
there's
they face
no
is
one
like
else.
A bunch of scrubs.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like they're going for like this thing where they're like kind of subdued, but it's not really working. Because I kind of get they don't, because if they start yelling and screaming, they really come off as like Great Value Road Warriors. So yeah. I see why they don't want to do that. But then just by not having any, yeah, like by them just kind of talking quietly and deliberately, they just come off as kind of boring. So yes. That doesn't really work well either. So yeah, they almost need a manager, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They definitely need more presence if you're going to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. But it will not be the last that we see of them on this episode. So we'll continue on. Next up, we get a recap package of the saga of the BFFs, which basically amounts to the BFFs are kind of doing their thing. Summer Rae was a member. I guess at some point she left to do something, I guess, on the main roster or something.
Go to Hollywood.
Oh, yes, Hollywood, of course. How could I forget? Now she has returned, and she wants to be the head honcho of the BFS. But unfortunately, Charlotte has kind of taken that role, and so there's a bit of a conflict between those two, which is about all I got from this, even though this is kind of seems to be going on. The BFFs have been a thing for like months, but this is the most I got out of the storyline, and it's pretty much just like Summer Rae is returning, and so that's what this whole feud is about. It seemed like a thin foundation for like a big video package thing.
Yeah, all of really the BFFs wasn't. Is a thin foundation. All of it is. We don't need any of this. I mean, I see the point. Like, they have to do this, but like, we don't need this.
Yes, well said. They have to do this because this is like, I don't know,
champ,
maybe the,
you know.
Yeah, she's the champ. This is their C story that they've been running since, you know, TakeOver where Charlotte got the belt. Do we like it? Not really, but it is one of those TV programs that, if nothing else, looks to be getting a proper blow off. So in some sense, I'm looking forward to the match.
Right.
Not because I think it'll be good, really, but I think it'll be a opportunity for us to just move on.
Yeah, that's probably the best part about it. Yeah, that they're giving us this recap package that lets us know, like, oh man, it might finally end. Like, that's good.
Oh man, it might finally
end. It's inside, don't
that should
worry.
Be the voiceover.
This fucking story is almost over, just hang on.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of C-level storylines, this may be even lower than C. Next up, we have a big match between CJ Parker and Xavier Woods, which another feud based on a very thin foundation, in that CJ Parker wishes that he had all the vast opportunities that Xavier Woods has had, which doesn't seem like Xavier Woods has gotten a ton of opportunities. Like, you know, Xavier Woods, he's in with the big man.
Yes, his newly minted PhD has translated to so many opportunities here in the wrestling business.
Exactly.
One of the most entertaining things about this is how, like, Regal has always talked about how he hated CJ Parker, but here he just really leans into how much he hates the environment. Like, he says he could care less about the environment. He drives an 8-wheel vehicle.
He said, I have no standards, and I died.
So apparently William Regal just like burns tires in his backyard to pollute.
And as soon as Parker appears on screen, Regal just goes, "Oh, this dirty, scruffy, filthy hippie swine!" Like, waste no time. Like, he can't even. Everybody's like, "Whoa!"
He hates him so much. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, we should stress that this is the A team on commentary for this episode.
Yes, true. We get Regal, Byron, of course, Tom Phillips, and so speaking of Byron, he says also. So he's kind of. Byron kind of plays this weird role where he's kind of like a heel announcer, but he's not really super heelish. He just kind of semi-defends the heels. Mm-hmm. So in this case, he says he defends CJ Parker by saying he is overcoming stigma just like Ronald Reagan and Oprah have. And then Regal like buries him and says, "Did you really just compare him to Ronald Reagan?" He just completely shits all over Byron's comparison, which rightfully so. It's fucking dumb. Noted environmentalist Ronald Reagan.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh God.
But there is a match here.
Spirits, Ronald Reagan and Oprah.
icons, just like CJ Parker. they do have a match here. CJ gets the early advantage. Woods then hits his face on the rope at one point, which kind of throws him off. But then he finally kind of fires up for his little comeback. He misses a crossbody, and then we get an awkward roll-up by CJ Parker for the win with the help of the ropes as he's kind of they're kind of flailing around. And so it kind of throws off the ref, too, so the finish was a little wonky as, like, he's like... Xavier Woods is, like, flailing his arms around while the ref's trying to count, and his arm gets in the way, so the ref goes to count, and he has to, like, pick his arm back up and recount. So it kind of came off, it kind of ruined the rhythm of it. Mm-hmm. I want a star and a half, which may be a bit generous. Tim, what did you think of the big blow-off to this hot feud between CJ Parker and Xavier Woods?
I gave it a half a star.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it just... It felt like maybe half or a quarter of what could have been a better match. Not like a good match, but it just seemed very short and abrupt. Not that I'm like clamoring to see more of CJ Parker, but I mean, these two, I feel like could have put something better together here. And I don't know why they got shortchanged so much when there's not a whole lot else going on up and down this card and really the other two shows we're going to see. So, disappointing to say the least. I don't know, points for Xavier hitting that sweet jumping DDT at one point in the match. He thought maybe that would finish or would lead to a flashier finishing sequence, but maybe they want to keep this thing going. I guess we'll find out.
I like the sigh when you said that.
It just seems like I'm sure we've stressed this enough times in the past, but there's a way to keep CJ Parker as a heel, but to be more in kind of this similar type of character, but to be more clever about it, where it's not just that he's this overbearing environmentalist and ha-ha, he cares about the planet, fuck him, what an asshole. What if he was, like, hypocritical about it? You know, what if he's just this hipster, like, fake environmentalist type who's just getting on everybody else's case but really, like, has a huge carbon footprint himself or something? You know, like, that would be kind of funny and something you can kind of work with. But instead, it's just... Oh, because he has convictions, he's a real fucking dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those very one-dimensional wrestling characters that with, I think, a minor tweak could work a lot better, and they just don't want to go there. Maybe he's not worth it being this low on the card.
Right.
That's creatively, they don't want to invest.
That's too complicated for the kind exactly. of wrestler he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
I don't know. Maybe these shows caught me on a good day because I gave this match 2 stars, and I thought that it was probably CJ Parker's best match that we've seen so far. Fairly energetic, fairly snappy. You know, I noted Woods' DDT. You know, I thought it looked really good. I liked when Woods got smashed into the bottom rope by his face. That was a pretty good spot, too. So I didn't hate it. You know, it was all right for what it was. So, like you said, I'm not super clamoring for more of this, but maybe it's the ending of it. Hopefully.
Continuing trend so far on this show.
Yeah.
Hoping that the feud's in.
Yes.
The only thing it has is CJ kept screeching too. That was really like every time he would like take a bump or something, he would like screech. So I guess fits
screech
his character.
Based, not so much screech. Offense, but defense, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Screech based selling. Wonderful. All right, we head backstage. We have Sami Zayn, who is a little bit fired up here. He says that we are now seeing the true coward that Tyson Kidd is, and that he's a man who is jealous of his own wife, and he plans to embarrass him. I like the fire from Sami here, that he just, a lot of times he's kind of wishy-washy about being aggressive, but I like how Tyson's kind of pushed him over the edge, and now he's like just straight pissed at him and wants to embarrass him. So I like that fire from Sami here. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah,
like
likewise.
Step up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just running a dude down. Like, yeah. No complaints, no, like, not making any excuses or anything, which I think he's been good about walking that line, but here he's just laying into a dude. And that kind of works where we're at now with Tyson Kidd. We're all feeling that same way. So he's just speaking a truth to the modicum of power that Tyson Kidd has acquired here thus far.
Very modicum.
In NXT.
Yes. So we carry on, and now we get a rematch from our last show, which was Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, where Alexa Bliss got an upset win over Sasha. And so this kind of rematch, Alexa has this weird sparkle sound effect that I noted during her entrance that was very comical. Like it was an absurd, exaggerated sparkle effect, because I guess that is kind of her gimmick right now is... I think she says something. She gets like a face, like little inset promo, and she's very like, aw shucks kind of baby face. And I forget what she says, but it's something about being like I'm going to sparkle and shine or something like that. So that's kind of what her gimmick is. Sasha kind of dominates her throughout the match. She ends up making a little bit of a comeback, trying to hit some pinning combinations, but it's basically just Sasha overwhelming her the whole match, and she can't do much. And Sasha ends up winning with the bank statement. So, I thought Sasha looked okay in this. She's still kind of leaning back on the thrashing-based offense where, like, she has some good moves, but she always goes back to that thing where, like, the person's just laying, and she, like, takes him by the head and kind of throws him against the mat, kind of weak-looking, and it's just not the best offense. And it just kind of derails things a bit sometimes, like any momentum she's building when she's on offense. So I wish she would kind of stop going back to that, which I think eventually she will, but it was okay. It was kind of just her dominating, getting her win back on Alexa. So I went a star and a half on it, Jen.
All right. I'm with you. I kind of like that little inset promo of Alexa's. It was, you know, kind of a quick hit. It wasn't bad. You know, she said what she needed to say. It wasn't awkward or weird. So I thought she did a great job on that. And this was sort of a fun, tidy little match for both of them, I thought. I like the spot where Sasha gets her in the corner and just, like, jumps on her with her knees. That looked pretty good. Like right on her stomach. And they're similar in size, so I think they work well together. So I went a star and 3/4. Tim?
Well, look at that. Now we're starting to get into alignment here. I also went a star and 3/4 because these are two wrestlers I actually like. No. I mean, I do actually like them, and I do think that the match is a step up from things we have seen prior to this. They just seem to, like, work pretty well together, and it's surprising to me that we haven't seen this pairing more, like, you know, in recent years. Character-wise and just what they do in-ring, you would think that they are quite complementary. And even this early on, you see kind of some indications of that. And Sasha's not quite gotten down her, you know, signature look, signature style yet, but she is developing. You can see where that's starting to emerge. Particularly her, that finisher she does, she incorporates now that backstabber, I noticed, you know, flipping over into the bank. She's been using the bank statement for a little while now, but I don't know that we've seen that transition into it, which looks really cool. And it's just one of those intangibles that you start to add enough of those together and you've really got a complete package. So I continue to really enjoy Sasha's development, and certainly her emergence from under the shadow of Charlotte, if that is indeed where we're going to be going.
I'm interested to see Alexa Bliss, like how long she sticks around NXT, because she is somebody you don't really hear a lot about as a wrestler, but she's definitely super athletic. And like she even shows it in this match, like this early on in her run, like that she didn't get a ton of offense, but the pinning combination she did were pretty good. Like she executed them pretty solidly. It's just she's never somebody you ever hear much about her as a wrestler. It's always like everything else about her.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to like I'm interested to see how she. I have a feeling she's going to be somebody that's going to get called up kind of randomly. Like she maybe is not going to get, like she'll be gone before the time when they sort of give NXT people a little bit of an exit, like on a big stage. And I have a feeling she's just going to like out of nowhere, just be like kind of how Paige was, how they just sort of pluck Paige out. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen, but I want to see how far she goes in NXT, like how much she elevates in NXT before they snatch her away.
People probably forget or don't realize in the first place that she was around NXT this early. I certainly did. And that is kind of how I remember it, is that she's not there a super long time and doesn't get like a huge showcase. But I mean, she had her fans, but I don't know that people knew that she went back this far.
Yeah, the cheerleader version of Alexa Bliss, I feel like, is probably a little bit forgotten. But anyway, we will carry on. And we have a Tyler Breeze interview up next. He says that everyone is jumping to conclusions that he doesn't want Neville. He doesn't want to face Neville, even though he's the number one contender. And basically, like, he's cowering away. But he says these things take time. And if they want Breeze, then they can settle for watching his brand new music video, which gives them an excuse to plug the Tyler Breeze music video yet again.
Look, everyone! It's Tyler!
Is it my eyes when you look at me? They are so gorgeous, they'll set you free. Could it be my walk or just my stare that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking, every hair in place. Everyone loves this gorgeous face. You can't deny my beauty shot. I'm everything that you are not. Part man, but all model. Am I what you want? Am I who you follow? Don't try and fight it. You can't deny. This is perfection personified.
Here, which is wonderful. So it was fun to see again, but it did feel like I'd seen it not that long ago. But I like that they were pushing it and trying to get it over. And then we head to Tyson Kidd, who now he has his own interview. He's upset that everyone's asking about his family because he says that it's his business and he wants to talk about how he is going to beat Sami Zayn. And he says that his wife can handle herself. Definitely, he's trending more and more heel. He's becoming more and more heelish. Like every interview he gives, he goes a little bit more straight heel. And you can see it seeping more and more in, which I guess is well done so far, despite him not being the best, you know, talk or anything. I think they've done that decently for, you know, his talent in that area.
I don't know. I would argue this is the same bullshit that he's always said. And there's no development at all.
I like that it was, at least that it was quick, and he tries to wave off all the family drama type stuff. How successfully was that?
Well, he always
does that. Yeah, but he usually, it's very protracted and just goes around and around and around. That he gets questioned and pressed and has to say the same thing over and over in different ways. And this was just sort of, yeah, fuck all that. I got a match tonight. That's what I'm focused on. And I'm like, all right, still not the most exciting thing in the world, but I'm much better off with that than like the my wife interview.
Yes, I'm so weary of him and Natty. Like, it's like enough already.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I know, there's plenty more to come.
Far from over.
Yes.
The drama. But anyway. All right, so we'll pick things up a little bit because we have an Adam Rose match. So I feel like it's been a while. I guess it's just the way they do these tapings that we sometimes, I feel like sometimes we do a whole episode of the podcast and we have people we've seen a whole bunch and they're just not on for like three straight episodes. And I feel like Adam Rose has been gone for a little bit, but he's back here to face Jason Jordan, Jenny's least favorite wrestler of all time.
Yep.
There was a Nia Jax sighting. I saw Nia Jax in the Rosebud.
Oh, really? I was looking for anybody in the Rosebuds. I missed her.
Yes, I definitely saw her. I always see Braun Strowman. I see he's like a lock every time, I guess, because he's like a mass of humanity, hard to miss. But I want to say there was somebody else. But Nia was like my main one. Definitely, I think Carmella's in there too. I'm not sure because I think she has like a mask, like a masquerade mask on or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Carmella's in there too. It's like it's one of the highlights of Adam Rose coming out is trying to spot boy. He has like half the current roster or like Rosebuds here, and then he's unemployed. So, kind of sucks for him. But anyway, Tom says that Jason Jordan has the measurables, and Regal says so does he, which I took as William Regal talking about his dick. It's a big dick, which was fun.
The measurables.
Yeah, he's like, Jason Jordan has all the measurable. And Rue was like, well, yeah, so do I. This like, okay. This was pretty much a typical Adam Rose sort of quick match. Jason Jordan works him over a little bit. He does his little comeback that he normally does, and his party-based offense prevails. Mm-hmm. I went a star and a half, which seems like a lot for like a standard Adam Rose match, but I don't know. Maybe William Regal talking about the size of his schlong bumped it a half a star for me. I don't know. Tim, what'd you think?
I mean, I gave it a star and a quarter, so I think we're within the realm of reasonableness here. I don't really recall much from this match because I do have in my notes for some reason this match is reactivating my Xanax. So I think I blacked out at the start of this and wanted to document that so that I would know why my notes were so sparse.
It's true in like a memento situation. Yeah. You're trying to piece together.
Well, it's not often you can catch yourself in the midst of a blackout, but anyway.
That's great.
Miracle of miracles, somehow. The party-based offense prevails. Can I just ask, weren't we doing a new tag team with Jason Jordan? And
yeah, didn't they say that his partner was injured or something?
Yeah.
Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger, basically.
Yeah.
Paying it some lip service. So it just sort of seems like, injured or not, I don't know. It just sort of feels like they're undercutting some of their own efforts to build the tag division by taking one of those guys who's supposed to be an up and comer and just feeding him to Adam Rose like this. Right. I mean, this could have been anybody, but it seemed like maybe they wanted to do a little something with Jason Jordan and have they just pulled the rug out from under him?
Well,
through no fault of his own, really.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling this was the beginning of a Adam Rose push. So I think maybe they would switch their attention to the party-based offense.
Could be.
I gave it a star and three quarters. There was a line in here about an asparagus-flavored lollipop. that somebody was offered at one of the Rosebud parties that slayed me. It was fucking hilarious. And then Adam Rose does this cool, I thought it was cool, move where he kind of like gets Jason Jordan, like, it's kind of hard to describe it, but he's in the corner up on the top rope with his hands, and then his feet are around Jordan's neck, and then he moves his legs, and it looks like Jordan is like actively eating his ass. And and so he does that, and it's pretty fun. And then commentary has no comments, and then Regal says, I'm leaving that alone, I'll get fired. And it automatically upped it as far as the star rating.
Well, now I'm really sorry I blacked out during this match.
Yes, I enjoyed Regal a lot during this match. And, you know, Jason Jordan is what he is, but his body is sick and his arms are amazing. So, you know, it was a fun little match. And Adam Rose is on a roll, I guess. I don't know.
I do feel like he's like diversifying his kind of moves a little bit. Yeah. Like you said, like, I feel like he's doing a little bit more, and we're going to see on this show, like, definitely like the longest Adam Rose match we've seen thus far later on. And it does seem like he's working a little bit more stuff in there. Like, he's not doing, like, it's not all just like gimmicky, goofy offense. He's mixing in some stuff that actually looks legitimately good. And I think he's starting to show it in this match. So, but it was fine. But what is more than fine is the official film of PTB NXT, which is Road to Paloma, as we get another Road to Paloma promo here. Which,
I want to see it now.
Me too. We have to.
It looks like the like if you distilled all of the show Sons of Anarchy into like 90 minutes, it would be the movie Road to Paloma. Right?
Which is probably like a lot easier to watch.
I was going to say.
Like, it's just all shots of like people riding motorbikes and like, I don't know, looking like that Burning Man or some shit, like hanging out in the desert.
The desert. Yeah, the desert's a character in itself.
I don't know if Paloma is the desert, or it's like you have to go through the desert to get to Paloma. So, like, Paloma is like an oasis, or, you know, like the destination.
Well, it is the road to Paloma, so you must have to ride. Yeah, it's like a ride of passage.
Or it's Paloma's state of mind, man.
Yeah.
I think this should be a bonus episode where we live watch this movie.
Patreon exclusive.
There you go.
That, yes, Patreon exclusive. That and Oculus, I think.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love Oculus.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's amazing. I like that movie.
Right. We'll stay tuned to the Road to Paloma bonus episode if we ever get the wherewithal to actually do it.
Yes, that's on the Road to Paloma Patreon tier.
Yes.
It's only $744 a month.
We now get a Kalisto interview after this Road to Paloma trailer, and he is interrupted very quickly before he can say much of anything by the vaudevillains, who want to know where his partner is. And Kalisto explains how he and El Locale have parted ways after like literally two matches together. But he says that he is going to find a new partner to face the vaudevillain. So did you guys have any predictions on who Kalisto's partner would be?
Yes, because I knew his partner would be.
It did make sense.
I thought he was really cute in this promo. Him and Devin like speak Spanish to each other in the beginning. I thought it was real cute. And then after the vaudevillains show up and like, where's your partner? And he explains it. And then he's like, what's the matter? Speechless? And then he runs off. And I thought it was cute.
There's some good energy to it. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think Kalisto's a likable character. He's
definitely.
He's good. There's definitely a place for him, I think, in NXT. He fits well. But now we head to our main event for this episode, which Sami Zayn talked about earlier, as he wants to try and embarrass Tyson Kidd with all his bullshit. Byron is fully defending Tyson Kidd's actions, everything that's happened with him with Natty. He doesn't really say anything particularly noteworthy, but he is the Tyson defender of the crew. We start off with a lot of Tyson stalling as he keeps bailing out to try and avoid Sami Zayn. We do get a nice drop kick in the Tree of Woe after that, which I thought was pretty good. Tyson kind of cuts off. He also gets a pretty Sammy goes out after him and gets it during some of his stalling. He gets a sweet springboard moonsault. That was pretty sick. And then finally, Tyson kind of takes the upper hand. He kind of cuts off the comeback. He hits a nice German. I really like the spot where Sammy puts his knees up. Like Tyson's going for his elbow drop and Sammy puts his knees up. Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like it's not a spot you see all the time. You always see it on like moonsaults and shit, but never on like an elbow drop like that precise. So that was pretty cool. And then Tyson's kind of selling it. Regal made a good point here that like just kind of with the A-team as the commentary, particularly Regal, like after Sammy hits him in the arm, like puts his knees up in his arm, he notes that Tyson has to use his hips to kick out because his arm is injured. So he can't, you know, he can't stick his arm up. So he has to use his hips, just stuff like that. Regal's so good at. Tyson eventually counters into the sharpshooter, but Sammy's able to get the ropes. And then finally, Sammy hits a sweet reversal and kind of floats into the Koji clutch and gets the win here. Kind of in line with what we've seen from them before. Kind of a typical, like, it kind of hits the Tyson wall a little bit in that it's all really well executed, but it just never really gets to anything like anything more than like maybe a little bit like good or a little above solid for me. I did love the finish. I love Sammy's reversal and into the Koji clutch. That was the highlight of the entire match to me. So I kind of went, it's probably a 2.5. And then I went an extra quarter for the finish because that was a pretty sick finish. So I went 2.75 on this one, a pretty solid TV main event. And maybe hopefully the end of Sammy having to deal with Tyson Kidd.
Hopefully. And I'm the same as you. 2.75 stars. I thought Tyson was all right in this. Like, he had a lot of fire, stiff kicks. That suplex on the ramp looked pretty good. Sharp offense by him. That German on Sammy was pretty great. The blue thunderbomb. I kind of hated he kicked out of that, but it's fine. I thought that Tyson sharpshooter was not bad. It was pretty good. I would rate it like about an 8 on the sharpshooter scale. I'll get Tim's reaction to that. I really liked the ending as well. I love the tap to the clutch. So it was a good match.
Yeah. What'd you rate it? Same as Jake?
2.75, yeah.
Okay. Sharpshooter, 8 or 9 out of 10. Sharpshooter there.
It was
pretty
good.
Impressed. Yeah. Which it's so rare you see a good sharpshooter these days, right? And I almost bit on that submission. I mean, they both made it look pretty convincing that like maybe Tyson's gonna start to rally again and get on a roll. And I mean, Sammy has sort of been job guy and can survive. He's fairly bulletproof in that regard. So I thought they might give us a submission on that sharpshooter. So I was pretty engaged with that. Good back and forth match. Regal also in commentary puts over just how well scouted like both guys are just in their approach going into this match, knowing one another's offense so that while there are a lot of big moves and they go move for move, everything feels pretty hard fought, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that blue thunderbomb, he gets it, but it takes like 2 attempts and, you know, 2 previous counters. I don't mind so much the kick out just because it's sort of been established as more of a transition move for Sammy at this point. Mm-hmm. Although I will say between that and that STO into the Koji clutch that he actually does win with here, I mean, those moves are both more impressive than his actual finish, like with the Haluva kick. It's like a dumb name for just such a basic move.
Right.
That I wish he would use one of those as his actual finish. But I mean, that's a minor quibble. It's one of those things I've always thought with NXT Sami Zayn. But all in all, I mean, I was pretty impressed here. I think I've been more forgiving of the Tyson matches than you guys have, at least in ring.
Yeah.
I think he pretty much brings it. The character does suck, but I went as far as 3.25.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought there's a lot more separation just rating quality wise between this and like everything else on the card. Like it didn't feel comfortable having doing this at like a high two up against something else that was a low two, you know, on the same card.
Yeah. It just
didn't sit right in my head.
Yeah, it was,
our ratings are like trash for NXT.
It's just hard. It's just
it's
hard.
It's so hard to rate these.
Yeah, because so much of it is not really even meant to be any kind of match worth of shit.
Right,
it's just
right.
kind of there to so you can talk about the people and, you know, which I guess some of them just like, you know, like the undercard stuff on here, I'm like, you know, was it like really nothing? Because then it's like a half a star, It was like a little bit more star and a half. And then
yeah.
If it was a quote unquote real match, then I kind of start thinking a little bit deeper into it,
exactly,
like into the
yeah.
subtlety of my rating. So to Tim's point, it may hurt the better matches, like the, you know, they should probably be relatively higher than some of the other stuff. Like to Tim's point, this should probably be more than just like one star above, you know, whatever other kind of worthless
like
stuff.
Like Sasha, Alexa.
Yeah, you know, like which is not horrible or anything.
Right,
it's just.
Right.
This does feel quite a step up from
something like that.
And I think I did like Tyson a bit more in this. I feel like
he
kind of leaned more into the heelish stuff and being a little more aggressive because I think his weakness for me sometimes he just comes off kind of bland and he kind of didn't seem as bland.
Mm-hmm. Natty was not out there, which is always helpful.
Mm, true.
Yeah, so... All right, but that wraps up this episode. So overall, I thought this was like the prototype for like a straight down the middle 5 out of 10 show. Like not even in really a bad way. Like we got some stuff on the undercard, some pretty decent matches, some stuff that was kind of just filler nonsense. And then we got a pretty good main event, which to me for like an hour of NXT, that is kind of like right in the middle for me. So I went 5 out of 10. Jenny, what did you have?
I'm right there with you. I'm at 5.5, just because Regal is on commentary for the most part, so he will always make a show better.
I'll say 5 also. It's a good example of what a middle-of-the-road NXT TV show is.
Very good. So we will chug right along into the July 24th, 2014 episode, and we come right out of the gate with another extended, this one was even longer than we got last time, an extended recap of the Summer and Charlotte Friction and everything that has been going with the BFFs to hype the big match that they're finally going to have tonight on this episode of NXT. And so I have to say, did this package get you hyped?
I'm sorry, what?
Impossible question.
Were you hyped to see the BFFs finally explode?
No.
The tensions finally reach a boiling point.
Yes, no. I'm happy to, again, just hopefully be done with this.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that see Charlotte kick some ass.
Yeah. But we'll get to that match in just a second, that heavily hyped match in just a second. Before then, as a little appetizer, we will get the Ascension coming out to face some stiff competition from Aaron Salo and Johnny Vandal. The funny thing here, so we're back to the B team. So we have Alex Riley, Rich Brennan, and Renee Young. And I like the idea that on commentary here, Alex Riley says that the Ascension are bad for business because they just beat everybody. So it's kind of funny that they're like saying what we've been saying, like it's not good for the tag division because they never actually like have any competition. So it's kind of weird that they're like putting that into the into their presentation that they're bad for business. I thought that was kind of goofy because they might be. But and then they also, Tim, called the Aaron Salo and Johnny Vandal local competitors. So things have come full circle.
Yes.
Yes.
As did I.
They have adopted your vernacular. So,
about time.
A great moment. I had, I forget which one it was, but I had Aaron Salo or Johnny Vandal as kind of like impoverished Neville. I forget who it was. I did not really know which one it was, but one of them looked like impoverished Neville because he kind of had this like beard, like pseudo ponytail looking thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this weird conversation on commentary also about whether the Ascension should enjoy this, like when they're beating the guys up. Like they had this almost like philosophical debate as to whether the Ascension were like bad people because they enjoy beating up the jobbers. Like it was very strange. Like instead of just being like, oh, look how impressive they are, they're like, should they really be enjoying this? It's very strange. Like, especially because the Ascension, you're not really sure like if they're supposed to be heels or not. And then they're doing these weird conversations. It's like, it's just so strange. Like, just have them whip people's ass really quick and say how dominant they are or something. Like, why are we questioning their morals for – it'd be like, you know, like you're watching, like, the Steiner Brothers squash people and, like, JR's like, I don't know if this is really right, guys. I don't know. Should they really be one to paralyze these jobbers? Like, no. He's just like, look how impressive they are.
They're just reaching because they have nothing to say. There's nothing. There's no depth. They're just, like, throwing shit at this nonsense nothing match.
Yeah. And we've also seen this nonsense nothing match so many times
now. A billion times.
That anything that they might have had to say, they have run out long ago.
Exactly.
And they're really, for the kind of team that they're built as, they really don't have entertaining. I'm not going to call it a squash match. I called it a non-competitive enhancement match.
Okay.
I call everything a squash. It's a non-competitive enhancement match. So I gave it a half a star. But yeah, they have kind of boring squashes for dudes who are supposed to be like monsters. They kind of plod around and like kick the guys a few times and stuff. It's just never really like memorable. So
I mean, their shit looks tough. Like they look like they're legit beating ass, but it's like emotionless, really. Like I don't feel like they're getting any joy out of beating this guy. I just think they're just on like robot mode and just you know, there's no threat. There's no anything. It's just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I usually give these types of non-competitive enhancement matches a half a star just kind of for showing up and doing what it's supposed to do. In this case, I gave it a quarter star just because I think we've just seen it so much. And it just doesn't offer anything new, which that's okay. A lot of squash matches don't offer anything new, but it's getting to the point of just kind of plotting, you know, and just grates on your nerves, especially when it's done in such a, as you put it, like a pretty dispassionate sort of way. Jenny, where they're just like going through the motions.
If they were relishing it more, it would be better.
They had more presence. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look like they're really bloodthirsty, like commentary was trying to make them out to be.
And that's the other thing with the with the commentary. It's not really an enhancement for. It's almost like when you're reading watching a bad TV show, a bad movie, reading a bad novel. And noticing like that the plot really sucks, and then characters within the piece start complaining about the same things that you're complaining about.
Yeah,
that's rarely an enhancement. That's usually a pretty bad warning sign.
Yes.
And that's just what this commentary felt like.
Yeah, the Ascension are boring. But anyway, they're really pushing the Summer Charlotte thing. Like, that's going to be the big match on the show because we get another quick little, like, package pushing that. And then we head to Tyler Breeze versus Mojo Rawley, which sort of seems like it could be, like, a real match on paper because Mojo is the guy that they've kind of protected a little bit. And Tyler Breeze is obviously, like, a number one contender. So you're thinking, hey, this might be a real match. And it was not. It was actually another non-competitive enhancement match with Tyler Breeze going over the guy who was much bigger than him. They discuss on commentary how Tyler has one look, which is clearly like a reference to Zoolander, a movie that came out in 2003. And they're a good decade removed from that. So timely reference there. And Tyler just kind of stands there for a minute and just like wrecks Mojo with the beauty shot. And so the match was literally like, I don't know, 20 seconds or something, but it was kind of surprising. I went a half a star just because like it really was barely even a match. But I kind of thought this would be real. I'm surprised they let Mojo just get wrecked like that by a guy that much smaller than him. It was kind of strange.
I feel
this
like
was
this
shocking.
Yeah, it was. Maybe that's just Mojo's thing now. Because didn't he just get wrecked by Rusev or something?
Yeah. He did, trying to protect the honor of America.
America, yeah. Thanks, Mojo. It was a dud. I mean, it's not a match. It was a beauty shot. That was it. I love Tyler. I like Mojo, but what are we doing?
Did you give it a dud?
I did.
I love it. I gave it a half a star. Well, it's my non-competitive enhancement match standard rating of half a star. And nice having this back-to-back just as a point of contrast between the Ascension match and this one. Like, you have degrees of non-competitive enhancement matches now. Look at that. Tyler just getting that win with the beauty shot with his hangnail and all. You would think you would be hampered by that. But, I mean, that's like just an extra cherry on top of this Mojo burial. Which, like, I don't mind. I'm just sort of shocked that they did.
And it's not like the beauty shot is not like a one hit like knockout sort of move. It's basically like a spinning heel kick. So
especially not just, like, for a giant like Mojo.
Like, you could almost buy. You could almost buy that after a super like intense long match, if he hits it, then that's what puts somebody out. But that's like all he does, and.
Yeah, it's like an X-Pac transition move, and he just like crushes him with it.
Mojo's just done.
X-Pac transition.
It really is.
It's, it's an odd finish. She needs, to Tim's point, we need a, like, why does everybody need a kick as their finisher? Can we get something else? Like, everybody's got, like, the Luva kick, the beauty shot. It's all going to be a kick. Too many kicks.
It looks extra because he has all that fringe on the bottom of his foot, but it's basically just a kick.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mojo gets crushed, so we'll see. Hard times for Mojo, but he'll kind of pivot in a minute. We'll see. Mm-hmm. All right, we're finally at the moment, guys. They had the Mega Powers, and now we have the BFFs exploding. Charlotte versus Summer Rae to find out who will be the true leader of the BFFs. Summer screams a lot during this match. That was my first note as I started watching this match. She's just constantly screaming, I think, to make up for the fact that she can't do a whole lot in the ring. So she kind of makes up for screaming. So this was like a very mat-based match, which kind of lives and dies by, like, I think the intensity and how well each person can kind of lay in their holds and, like, sell the holds. And Charlotte can certainly do that. We saw that at TakeOver when she faced Natty. And she does her part in this match very well, and that she does some sweet holds. Like, she I really loved when she put – so she puts Summer in the, like, a head scissors and just starts, like, smacking her head into the mat.
Yes.
Like, that shit was brutal. So that looked great. And then I just had this moment where they're going through this. And so, like, Summer Rae is sort of trying to do the same thing, but she just is not as talented or impressive looking as Charlotte. And I had this moment where I felt like Charlotte was faced, like, she was wrestling like the impoverished version of herself, like a weak, like, you know, like, because they're both like, and that's what they're selling on commentary. Like, Alex Riley says they both use their limbs so well, but they're kind of selling as like, oh, they're both so flexible and, you know, and that sort of thing, like we've said before, of some stretching-based offense.
Exactly.
So they're kind of selling as that, but she just looks like – Charlotte looks like she's just completely in another league from her. And Charlotte kind of ends it. I thought it was right on cue because the crowd starts to chant boring, and Charlotte, like, immediately hits a natural selection, like, all right, let's get the hell out of here. I didn't think the finishing sequence was that bad, like when she does hit the natural selection, but they just never could build – too much momentum to really get the finish to feel hot, just because I don't think Summer could work this type of match, or maybe any match. But yeah, I went 2 stars on it, mostly as a credit to Charlotte for her end of the thing, because she looked awesome as she has been looking. But Summer, I just don't think could play her role well enough to really get it much higher than that for me.
I was a little bit lower. I went 1 star, 3 quarters. I just felt like Summer got way too much offense, and this didn't have to be an outright non-competitive enhancement match. It could have been a longer match without being super competitive. Like, we could have seen some Summer begging off, some stalling. Maybe she gets a couple of lucky cheap shots in. But for her to go to the mat with Charlotte and to even dominate like a little bit just sort of took me out of it. You know, there's just, because she's just in no way, shape, or form in Charlotte's league.
No.
It hasn't even been presented as such. So for her to gain any kind of advantage in the type of match that they laid out just felt a little bit silly. So I wanted something kind of quicker and more decisive for Charlotte that really put her over stronger. It really sucked to have the fans like turn as much as they did. Like especially through that middle portion, which again I think just speaks to like how unconvincing Summer Rae was in her offense. So yeah, disappointing, but hopefully that's the last word on this.
I feel like the emotion, kind of the hate between the two of them, goes a long way in filling some of the holes in Summer's offense. All right. So they put a Road to Paloma ad in the middle of this match, if that tells you anything. But
right.
I thought that Charlotte's mat work, of course, is really good. Her figure four is amazing. Summer did get a pretty decent half crab during the match that looked all right. And I mean, I figure she's going to get a little bit of this, right? But is she on the way out? I mean, like, is this the last of Summer for NXT? Like, I'm unclear about where they're going with her. I mean, I know where Charlotte's headed, but I don't know if this is meant to close the door on Summer Rae and send her off, or will she still be kind of sniffing around with Sasha and whatnot. So it was a pretty good bout. I enjoyed it for the most part, and I gave it 2.25 stars.
I'm never sure on those types of things myself, because look at Bo Dallas, right? Where right. They felt like they wrote him out about 4 different times.
Right.
So I kind of hope so. I kind of assume so, but I don't know. I'm not real sure.
The women's division is pretty thin, so like I guess I kind of hope she hangs around. But then maybe just switch her up a little bit, change her up maybe. I feel like she can be used, but just flip her on something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully this is the end of Summer Rae, I think.
Yeah.
I think it probably will be, because she's, I think, on the main roster, and I think she's probably not in the company for much longer. But yeah, I guess a fitting way for the angle to end this whole.
Yeah, hopefully.
Deal. So, we didn't get a quick, so we continue on and we get a quick little vignette about Alexa Bliss, and they tell us that she has a major in bedazzling. I think they said something like she went to some kind of school and then that she had a major in bedazzling. So again, that's her gimmick, I guess, is glitter and shiny stuff. And then we head to the ring now for what was set up on last week's episode. The Vaudevillains will take on Kalisto and his mystery partner, his new partner, which turns out to be Sin Cara. Which I guess makes sense. Two luchadors teaming up. Sin Cara, much bigger than Kalisto. He definitely accentuates. Kalisto is like a little guy. He is very small. Not saying that as an insult, but Renee then goes into her random fact sort of thing, where she tells us that Aiden was trained by David Woolley, who I have no idea who that is. I tried to Google it and could find nothing about any wrestling trainer named David Woolley. So I don't know if she just made that up or what.
She just read it off her paper. She doesn't.
It's David Woolley. This was a very, very, this has a very basic tag match. Not really in a bad way, but like basically the vaudevillains control Sin Cara and kind of go back and forth and work him over until Kalisto comes in, and he comes in, does his few like high flying moves, and then finally wins with I don't really know what the move was called. Tim is usually my is kind of the move expert, maybe you could say, but it's sort of like a flip over. Kind of,
yes,
he flips over, just like a reverse DDT sort of deal.
It's a Spanish word that I will not attempt to say.
Called the Kalisto driver.
Yeah, I like it.
There we go.
But yeah, and so they won with that. So I went 2 stars on it. It was a pretty solid little tag match, and I like Kalisto's little hot tag action. I thought it was a little weird for the vaudevillains to get kind of handled pretty much in this match. Not that, I mean, they looked okay when they like when they were in control, but Kalisto kind of came in and just whipped them, which I thought was a little weird because they do seem to be building them. But as it was a pretty decent tag match. So 2 stars, Jen.
So yeah, I'm at 2.5. I really like Kalisto and Sin Cara as a team. Aiden is basically carrying the vaudevillains as a team. Like, Simon's offense is nothing for the most part. I thought Aiden did a good job holding his own for the most part in this and doing what he could against these guys. But they're really fun to watch. Kalisto is, you know, sort of Rey Mysterio-esque a little bit. in this one, and I thought the finish was really fun. So 2.5 for me, Timmy.
I'm right in there with you guys. I'm 2.25 on this one, and yeah, a little bit of a minor upset with Kalisto and Sin Cara getting the win over vaudevillains, who have gotten a pretty fair shake in their early days as a tag team. I thought they might continue that, but it's just nice to see some actual, like, uncertainty in a tag team match for once. So I appreciated that. Will say that this crowd maybe is a little bit brutal. I don't know what's going on with this.
They look cooked.
This sequence. Yeah, like, Kalisto comes out to zero. I mean, zero. Yeah. He might as well have been playing to an empty arena. Like,
right.
It was, I was like, what is going on? Did they dub his theme or something and edit out the crowd reaction or something? It was, like, bizarrely silent. So it's, what's up with that? I don't know. But the match, I just thought, was much better than it got from the crowd.
I agree with that.
Yeah, the crowd, I have a lot of times when I'm watching these, right? And I don't know if it's just because it's a small building or the way they mic it or something, where there's a lot of things that I think would get a better reaction and they just don't. Like, not that they should be like, you know, tearing the roof off, but it kind of falls dead.
They tear the roof off for the fucking Ascension nonsense bullshit.
Yeah, I can't defend them for that.
They're just true NXT crowds is what it is, right? If it's not some bullshit kick out.
More finish, Canadian destroyers.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
they need to see a Canadian destroyer on the floor to get her in.
Panama Sunrise or we ride.
Yes, 100%.
I need to see the vaudeville-based team pull out some like some X Division.
Yes, please. Right. Do y'all agree about Simon being like nothing in this team?
Yeah, he doesn't do much. He doesn't really do a whole lot. And I don't know if it's like I don't know what his experience level is. I don't know a ton about him. Like, I don't know where he was in his career, if he was relatively, like, new to wrestling or what. Or, like, maybe they're trying to save him to be, like, the heavy of the team or something. I'm not really sure. But they've kind of established them as, like, yeah, they do the silent era-based offense. But they haven't really established much of, like, what the team dynamic is.
Right.
Besides, like you said, like, yeah, besides just, like, Aiden is, like, the, you know, the workhorse that does most of everything, but you don't really get a sense of what their roles are in the team.
When they present, when they say that Simon Gotch is like the strongman of the group, but it, you look at him and it's like his physique is like no more impressive than Aiden's, really. I mean, he's wearing a singlet like an old-timey strongman in a, you know, circus freak show setting would wear, I guess, but it's not like he looks that more imposing than Aiden English.
Not at all.
No. Because we've talked before about how Aiden is kind of low-key, kind of jacked.
Yep.
Kind of a low-key hoss. So, I don't know. The vaudevillains thing so far is kind of weird. Like, I don't really know where they're going with them. It seems a little up and down.
Maybe, like, and maybe that's the joke, that he's playing the strongman character, even though he just doesn't wrestle that way. But that seems, that's kind of more subtle than I want to give them credit for as a joke.
Yeah, I don't think subtlety has any room in the stories.
I have my doubts.
All right, but coming off of the vaudevillains, we now have a main event that to me was very strange. Like, this matchup was kind of out of nowhere and odd to me, and that will be Neville versus Rusev, who we always think he's gone, and he ends up showing back up every now and then, like unannounced for no reason. So
like Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Except he's like a big Russian monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Bulgarian brute. So strange match to come out of nowhere. Alex Riley starts to kind of dog on Neville, saying that the title has sort of gotten to his head, saying that he was snubbed by Neville backstage, and Renee kind of shuts him down, saying that it's probably just because it was you and you're a loser, basically. So that was kind of funny. their like interactions are so uncomfortable. They get into they're definitely trying to do like, I guess, a face heel sort of arguing back and forth thing, but it sounds so like stilted and awkward. Like they just sound like two people having an awkward conversation where she's like dogging me. He's like, yeah, well, I don't care what you think. She's like, well, whatever, Allie. They just like awkwardly go back and forth. It's very uncomfortable, but, Lana comes out. She does the full on. She does this whole thing about how stars fade, but heroes do not, and that's why they have a hero like the great Vladimir Putin, and they put that absurd giant picture of Vladimir Putin on the Tron, which always cracks me up. It's just such an odd thing to see on a wrestling Titantron for several like a minute straight, just like a still image of Vladimir Putin. But anyway, she says that Neville will burn out because that's what stars do, unlike heroes like Vladimir Putin and Rusev. So we go into this, Rusev going hard from the start like he usually does. Tons of backbreakers, usual Rusev, like dominant offense. And it's a really great pairing, you could tell. I mean, obviously, both guys are really talented, but Rusev, his offense always looks devastating. And Neville, definitely even more than most, could make it look really great as he sells his ass off as he always does. He's trying, the whole thing of this was Neville trying to use his educated feet to try and find some kind of advantage as he's getting overwhelmed by Rusev. We then see Tyler Breeze come up on the apron for a moment, but he's kind of knocked down. And until he finally makes his way back in, Neville is going for the red arrow, and finally Tyler Breeze comes and pulls him down for the DQ, and then Rusev proceeds to just completely wreck him for like a good 3 minutes. So as a match, it was okay. Like, I guess in a vacuum, it was just sort of Rusev being dominant and Neville's trying to make a comeback, and then we get an interference DQ. Obviously, I think these guys could be capable of a really, really great match, but it wasn't happening here. It was just, I don't know. It was, I guess they wanted to get Tyler Breeze like heat on him for interfering in the match and like screwing over Neville to kind of build their little storyline. But it was just odd to do it against Rusev and then just have Neville get his ass pounded for like four straight minutes after the match. So I want a star and a half on it. Yeah, I realize I just said get his ass pounded. But anyway, what'd you think, Tim?
On that note, I also gave it a star and a half. And I sort of like the idea in theory of continuing the story of Neville as the fighting champion. He's willing to take on all comers. We saw that with RVD, just kind of plucked out of the ether and thrown onto the show to have a pretty sweet match with Neville. Same deal before that with why did I forget his name? Brodus Clay, and their little mini feud. So I thought we might get another example of that with Rusev here, although I remembered kind of halfway through the match that this is when Rusev is still in the midst of his big win streak. So I'm like, oh, well, they're not going to have Neville beat him clean. So that's disappointing, and just in the sense that it's not going to do Neville any favors here, although he does look quite impressive. And I don't know, it kind of looked like he was going to, his win was going to be a foregone conclusion, if not for, well, like clean win with the Red Arrow, if not for Breeze coming in. So they still, you know, kind of put him over. It just made you wonder, like, all right, why would they book themselves into a corner here when they know they do not want Rusev to lose? And this could have been just somebody else, right? It did not have to be Rusev going up against Neville here. So just, I don't know, I question the logic there. But for what it was, not bad. It's, you know, serviceable main event. Continues the Neville Breeze story, which I'm finding myself pretty into.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I mean, it's like sort of interesting. Like, I kind of wanted to see them wrestle, but then I was kind of like, no, this is going to be a fucked up finish because Rusev ain't going to lose, and you don't want Neville losing. So they kind of did the only thing they could there. So, like you said, booked themselves into a corner. I liked Tyler's interference, but I thought it was a little bit weak. You know, like, he didn't really fuck up much. Like, he just, if you're going to come in and interfere, like, do something sort of brutal, right? Don't just, like, do something dumb. Like, I don't know. It looked kind of off to me for Tyler. But for the most part, I did like it, and I went 2 stars on it.
All right. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was weird how he jumped on the apron and, like, nothing really came of that. Like, yeah. I don't know why they even bothered doing that part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was such a weird matchup. It almost seems like something you would do, like, if this were a show that was on TV to, like, pop a rating. But they obviously don't have, like, ratings, so.
And like, the crowd had no interest in this shit. There was, like, zero reaction from them.
Yeah, it was just an odd pairing. I mean, obviously, it's awesome to see, but it was just a whole kind of weird way to go about doing the Tyler Breeze thing. But
yep.
All right, so that'll wrap up this one. Let's talk about our ratings. Tim, what would you rate this one out of 10?
I would say I like this a little less than our first show. Not a steep step down, really. Although having back-to-back non-competitive enhancement matches isn't the best look in the world, I'm going to go 3.5.
Oof. Rough.
I kind of talked myself down as I
Yeah, you did.
I was going to go 4, but nah.
I didn't ding it that much. I just went down a little bit to 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I went 4. I'm kind of with Tim. I liked it a little bit less than the first one just because I feel like the main draw of the show was probably the BFFs exploding, which was definitely coming. So
right.
I went 4 out of 10 on this
And that
one.
Wasn't even the main event. It's like that's what right. they were promoting mm-hmm. and pushing so hard. And it's just like a middle of the match show that just wasn't that good.
It's like even they knew like it probably wasn't going to, yeah. you know, they didn't want to put us in main event.
They're like, oh, yeah, Summer's in this. Never mind.
Yeah, let's give it like 14 video packages, but yeah. not let it close the show because we don't want it to close with the people chanting boring. So
exactly.
But some stuff that you would not chant boring at is the slew of shows we have over on the Place to Be Nation family of networks. First of all, check out our new PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logos and great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search. You can even get a nice PTB NXT hoodie or shirt, coffee cup, whatever kind of Marty is joined by Justin for Pro Wrestling Love, number 10, to conclude their countdown of the 100 greatest NWA WCW matches with their top 10. The newest episode of, speaking of, Tim, how's that going?
All is lost.
Very good. The newest episode of the PTB Evolution has Andy Atherton and our very own Tim Capel sit down and discuss the storied career of DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. Tim, you want to give us a little teaser for that?
The teaser I will give is I will apologize for any topical references made during that show to Christmas or New Year's. I don't know if there, I can't recall if there were any, but we recorded that a little ways back. So it may not be fresh in terms of some of the references there, but I will say that Diamond Dallas Page is my favorite WCW wrestler, and it was a lot of fun to track his career from just top to bottom, not just WCW, although we spend a lot of time in that lane, but even starting out from like his AWA days, going into, you know, the Alliance Invasion stuff in WWE, even a little bit of TNA love, if you can believe it. So really fun, just all over the spectrum type of show on one of my all-time favorite wrestling personalities.
Very well. Well, if I hear any references to New Year's or Christmas, I will shut it off in protest.
Yes, so. Please stop listening immediately.
On this week's NWA Saturday special, Scott and the Doctor discuss the WWE Network Peacock deal. They continue their GWCW ballot countdown with number 70 through 61. The NWA Crockett and Roll team continue their build to Starrcade with part two of their look at Crockett TV from October 1985. The newest episode, The Main Event, is about the WWE Network Peacock deal as Nate, Steve, and Scott discuss from all angles. Then preview the Royal Rumble and start their new in-show project. Tune in to find out what that is. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with great shows that include The Year in Pop, PTB and Trivia Night, Laughing Theater, Telly and T, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to a pair of tremendous podcast feeds. First, our very own Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position, the home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, The Journey Through Infinity, and more. Also, check out the new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. It's the official home of Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, the Extreme Three-Way Dance, the Gang Gets an Always Sunny podcast, the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, TNA Never Dies, Shrink Wrap, Rank and File, and more, which you can find all three of your lovely PTB NXT hosts on various shows on that feed as well. And obviously, Jen's on the Jenny Position, in case you couldn't figure that out. Join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture. Be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices, fresh takes, bringing you articles on the topics in the world of wrestling, sports, pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paul's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey. If you're doing online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. While you're there, pick up a copy of longtime listener Adrian Cotton's second book, AWO, Big Time Players, Episode 2, Continuing to Grow. It is a vivid description of the second episode of the Alpha Wrestling Organization's program, Big Time Players, and is available as an ebook and a paperback. You can get both episodes 1 and 2 in paperback for $15.98. So check out all of those things, every single one you need to check out. But with that, guys, we will go into our final episode of NXT TV for this batch of episodes, which will be the July 31st, 2014 episode. And we get a kind of mishmash of commentary here as we have a little bit of B and a little bit of A-team thrown in as we get Byron Saxton, Tom Phillips, and Renee Young here. So we'll see how that goes. And we open up with Tyler Breeze facing Angelo Dawkins, who we're told is a very large man, a very accomplished college athlete. And Renee informs us that Ryan Seacrest is a very big Tyler Breeze fan. Apparently his music video is, you know, hot shit right now. But Ryan Seacrest is checking it out. But anyway.
He only checks out the hottest of shit.
Yeah. In those words, I believe she did say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that music video is quite popular with some of our listeners as well, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it is. You may even get a little taste of that somewhere in the show.
Wow.
But anyway, this this would be another non-competitive enhancement bout where Tyler Breeze pretty much just takes Angelo Dawkins out, makes pretty quick work of him. Nothing too much of note here. Tyler Breeze does not have squash matches that go over. I'm sorry, non-competitive enhancement bouts that last over about 30 seconds, it seems, because this one was extremely quick. I went a half a star on this one, Jenny.
Why? It's a dud.
Sorry. You gave it a dud again.
It's a dud. I'm done with this.
Come on.
What are we doing, Tyler Breeze? You don't want to wrestle anybody? Like, I don't get it. What are we doing?
He's got a hangnail. Give him a break.
God, fuck him. Just wrestle Neville already. Get
to him.
He's
so dominant, Jenny.
I'm done with this shit.
He's such a power dominant wrestler, though.
Long form storytelling is one thing, but like, this is ridiculous.
I gave it a star. I liked it a little bit. I liked it a little better than just a normal squash. Because I like Tyler getting the hard push here. I don't know how believable it is, but I also just don't really care, like, because I like Tyler, so I'm more.
I mean, I like him too, but I like to see him wrestle.
I want to see Jenny at like a 1989, like a Superstars, like 7-hour taping. And it's just all squash matches, and by then she's like,
God,
fuck this, fuck everyone,
fuck all y'all. I don't know. My panties don't get wet for a squash match normally. So,
these are really, I mean, you're right. It really is. I overrated with the half a star because it really is not much to it. Even for like a squash match, it's not really, he's really not doing much, which I guess they're trying to build this character that he doesn't like. You know, he doesn't have time for this bullshit because he's Tyler Breeze, hot pop sensation. But I get your vitriol.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But he's sort of, I mean, I guess I just sort of like that he's backing up the swagger, basically. Now.
Yeah.
You know, he says he's all this, and he wasn't seeing a ton of success at first. Like, when we started the show, I mean, he was kind of a 50-50 guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, racking up wins, and it's like, yeah, I kind of see why he's number one contender. Even though he's not winning in the most impressive fashion in the world. I think he has a lot more personality than like an Ascension.
And
Plus we haven't seen this 800 times like we have with them. So I'm just like,
I guess I just have higher standards for him at this point.
I'm sure. I know he's capable of much better matches. I just, for what they're going for, I'm like, that's fine with me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, he Breeze himself kind of agrees with Jenny because he cuts a post-match promo, and the first thing he says is that the match was annoying. So,
yes, he does.
Like, he was annoyed by his own match, so maybe there's some truth
this
to
is
it.
Annoying.
He didn't feel like dealing with that. He replays a clip of Neville getting destroyed by Rusev, which I guess maybe that could be the reason why they did it instead of the clip. Mm-hmm. He tells the Uggos to get their phones out, start tweeting because he has a big announcement. And that announcement is that he has submitted his video, his music video, for an Oscar nomination. Which
of course he has.
It's absurd.
In the documentary category.
Yes. Yeah, the documentary category. But anyway, the commentary was super into it, which I thought was a little odd. I feel like they should, you know, he's a heel. They should kind of play up like they were almost too into it. Like they were like unanimously into it. Like nobody called him like a smug dick or something. Like they were just like, yeah, good job submitting this as a documentary to the Oscars.
Yeah, Renee's all about some Tyler Breeze music video.
But Neville interrupts him now. Neville comes and tells him to stop delaying the inevitable. And Bree says that Neville needs to quit talking because he's needed back on the set of The Hobbit. Because he looks like a Tolkien character.
I really like that.
Yeah, like the announcers love him. The crowd loves him. He's supposed to be like this dick heel. Everyone loves him. So... he says
these are the perils of giving someone a character. They get over as a face.
Yeah.
Any character at all, if they have it, they become a face. This is, you know, that's what happens if your babyface character sucks so much.
Neville comes back with a zinger, though. So he's got some fire because he says he just got a message from Tyler Breeze's mom because he says he's not the only one in the Breeze family who likes selfies. implying that Tyler Breeze's mother has sent him nude pictures via text.
That was pretty good.
And then he unloads and sends Tyler Breeze reeling. So I thought this whole segment was probably a lot more entertaining than the match. I liked the character work from both. I kind of first thought that Neville's joke was a little bit corny because he kind of delays when he says the thing about, I got a message from your mom. But at least he likes it. Cause at first he was going to say, yeah, I got a message from your mom. And like, leave it at that. I was like, okay, that's lame. At least he came back and said like, you know, at least there was some cleverness to it.
he did hesitate, but he nailed the ending of it.
Yeah, at least he brought it back to the selfie thing. But yeah, I thought this was a decent way to build their feud. I enjoyed it all.
Just skip the whole match part. Just have him come out to make the Oscar announcement and then do this part and save us that match.
I mean, you got a point. He's already number one contender. We don't really
need it. Yeah, we don't need it.
Yeah. Or just like have him come out and like say he's not going to have the match because having matches is annoying or something like he's above having a non-competitive match. Mm-hmm. Like he's hanging over Ryan Seacrest. He doesn't have time for this bullshit. All right. But anyway, we go to another interview now and we have Natalia backstage. She's in a very notable in her, she had like a floral dress on.
Oh yeah.
With certain members of the hypothetical fan base would be quite joy to see her in this floral attire. But Natty says that she likes Adam Rose. They ask her about Adam Rose. She says she likes Adam Rose. But then Tyson Kidd immediately comes in and says that Adam Rose is a clown. And Natty kind of teases him and says he needs to stop being a lemon, which Tyson is not amused by, and says that he wants to challenge Adam Rose to show that Adam Rose is a loser and he's boring. And Natty gives a heavy sigh, a heavy troubled sigh to close the promo here, guys. What do we think of Natty Tyson continuing drama? And now we have Adam Rose in the mix here.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off and die. She calls him a lemon. Like, get your shit straight. Like, this is so... it's so frustrating. I don't want it. Take it away.
I think Natty should have told Tyson that his mom is a loser and boring.
Something, anything. Natty just,
that would have given it some bite.
All of it just disgusts me, and I hate it.
So are you team Tyson or team Natty?
I want them both to die.
So, with that, after Natty's labor,
burn it down.
Well, luckily, they'll be back later on the show and be featured much more. So, we'll see that match later tonight. Now we go to, we actually see the commentary team, which I only noted because I feel like that's something they don't do a whole lot. Is that they kind of cut to the commentary team and they talk for a minute. And then we head to the ring for a Charlotte and Becky Lynch match. And we immediately, thank God, Becky comes out and she's in a completely different gimmick. She still has the green, but she's not coming out to Riverdance. She has more of a, I don't know how to describe it. They kind of, it's like, she's like rock and roll kind of. I don't know. She's like doing the rock and roll
directly to Lita. They said, oh, she kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
It almost felt like they were going, hey, guys, don't you think she's like Lita now?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of lame. I was like, come on. Like, the first time she's like not a leprechaun gimmick, and you're like, yeah, look, she's like Lita. Don't you like Lita? Remember Lita? But she's thankfully in a lot less stupid gimmick. Even if it does come off a bit generic, it's at least okay and not actively horrible like her last one. So I'm glad that only lasted one, seemingly like one show or something. But they come in, and this was a hot match. They start with a lot of counters, just high energy, which is really what they're kind of building Becky's character on, is that she's high, like high energy. But a hot start with lots of counters from both of them. Becky is much more smooth. I know I kind of criticized in the last match, and now I'm starting to feel like maybe that was like the Summer Rae stink being brought onto her here, because she is much better in this match with Charlotte. Much more dynamic, moving much more smoothly. Charlotte goes after the knee, a la her daddy, and goes after Becky's leg here, and really, really starts hammering. So we get some limb work. How about that? How about some limb work? We need Regal in this match. Limb work, as she kind of does a figure eight as she's kind of cranking on the knee, like pulling back on it. So that was cool. And I thought Becky was really good here, trying to fight out of everything that she was doing. Becky goes for a roll up at one point, and that kind of gives her a second to start making a little comeback. But unfortunately, it is not enough, and Charlotte hits the natural selection. This was not a long match at all, but I thought it used every single bit of time that it got. We got the good focused limb work by Charlotte that looked really good. Becky looked awesome as kind of like the underdog baby face here. Like it felt like, as opposed to the last match we saw with Summer and Charlotte, this felt like I was watching like an NXT women's match as I know it, like today, as like what I associate with like an NXT women's match, like no wasted motion. Like it just looked promising. I only went 2.5 on it, which may be high given how much time it is, but I just think it was like they did a really awesome job for like a 3 to 4 minute match, and it definitely looked like, man, I want to see more of both of them. They like it got me excited to see where they go with both of them and what the women's division could be if we get past the stupid BFF Summer Rae bullshit kind of stuff. So yeah, I enjoyed this quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that they had a lot of sort of automatic chemistry. And I think that Charlotte sort of ups her game a little bit in this and maybe recognizes that spark in Becky. And they work really well together. It's a nice match, well-paced, lots of fire on both their parts. And like you said, that limb work, working on Becky's knee was excellent by Charlotte. She's dominant. She's awesome. But Becky showed out too. So I gave it 2.25, Tim.
With you guys, 2.25 from me. And seeing this, Becky, fresh of breath there. My Xanax reactivated. No. Breath of fresh air, and I kind of did a double take just seeing, oh, okay, Becky can really go, and a lot of energy in this singles match, not hampered by like a tag situation or silly gimmick, and hangs right in there with Charlotte, get some good limb work, as you guys said. I do sort of wish the limb work had factored into the finish, but at the same time, that that natural selection that Charlotte does is good for that Flash win.
Yep.
So it was sort of like she saw the opportunity, took it, and I don't know, can't really fault that. So solid stuff here all around.
Yeah, this was very promising. It got me like it got me hyped to use Mojo's to use Mojo, who we're actually about to see right now. Mojo Rawley promo. Yeah, I did not think about that. Just anytime
totally
I think
thought
of
about
being,
that in advance.
I feel like planned it. Mojo
just
cuts a promo
that
says he says he doesn't care who his partner is as long as they are hyped. To be literally any human being as long as they're hyped. Never wrestled. Fuck it, who cares? As long as you're hyped, it's all good.
Including JoJo.
Yes, he does say they could form a team and they call it Mojo Jojo. Mm-hmm. Which, but anyway, Bull Dempsey comes up to him and reluctantly basically offers Mojo to be his tag team partner here. So definitely setting this up as sort of the contrasting personalities of the tag team partners here. But they will apparently be tagging soon enough, so we'll see how that works out for Mojo Rawley and Bull Dempsey, who we haven't seen a lot of Bull. Mm-hmm.
Do we think that Bull is hype enough though to be
his? It's a great question.
It's true. He didn't pass the one criteria.
Right. It's like he seems pretty docile.
Yeah, he's honestly. Like literally anyone who's hype. It's like least hype guy on the roster.
As a matter of fact, Mojo at one point tries to hype up and Bull cuts the hype off and says, stop. Don't you mess this up for me. That is indicative of an individual who is not hype.
Not hype.
Stick to your principles, Mojo. God damn. Come on, man.
Asshole.
Maybe he saw the gurn. Maybe it's a very broad definition of hype. Like, everyone has their own, you know.
Oh, everyone lives in their own hype space. I see.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, hype space. I like that.
He saw the gurn. He was like, this guy's hyped. I can get behind this.
All right.
Or he's like,
hype in his own way.
He's like, I need a partner. I just got squashed by a guy who weighs 200 pounds less than me in 20 seconds. I really need help.
That's his interior, his inner monologue.
He's like super troubled on the inside. Like he puts on this outside shell of like,
oh my God.
I'm hyped, I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh, so that's so deep. I love that.
And
Do we think Mojo has an inner monologue actually? He might want to be one of those people who doesn't have one.
That's a fair point.
And that's why this comes out in strange ways, where he's got a rich subconscious going on that's really in direct competition with his exterior presentation, as Jake was saying.
Yeah. Maybe that's
But he can't articulate it. He can't formulate it into just coherent thoughts because he lacks that internal model.
So it just comes out as hype.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has to express his emotions via running around the ring.
Right.
With a t-shirt tucked into his trunks. Which is a strange look.
This is the most anyone has ever thought about Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. But anyway, Bull Dempsey sees something in them because they're going to be partners. So we'll see them soon enough. All right. So next up, we have everybody's favorite, The Ascension versus some local talents, Mr. Steve Cutler, who Renee tells us is of no relation to Jay Cutler, in case anybody was wondering about
Thanks, Renee.
His partner, Mac Miles, and we get the tidbit that the Ascension have been champs for 302 days, which is quite a depressing statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And they also let us know that we will get a number one contender tournament for the tag team title starting next week. So maybe a little bit of hope coming here, but this was a brief one-sided match with one somewhat noted team against a relatively unestablished team that has seemingly been thrown together with no purpose but to lose. So I went one star, not a squash, just that one star for me.
Jenny, you go ahead.
I mean, my notes are another squash. Do we still rate these or no?
Have we moved on from this?
And then they do a promo or something at the end, and he says, annihilation or some shit. He's like, fuck that word.
I wanted to kill myself after that.
Fucking dud.
Dud. I like that you've officially just converted all squash matches to dud.
Yep.
You're done with it. I mean, it's as formulaic gets. A quarter star, just like their last one on the show we watched before this. Cut and paste. Steve Cutler is, appropriately enough, one of the Forgotten Sons today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Brandon Cutler of AEW. AEW Dark, primarily.
Or, as Renee says, former quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Mr. Jay Cutler, who I think dated Kristen Cavallari, or is still dating / married to Kristen Cavallari.
That's a name I haven't heard in some time.
Yeah, I'm a regular Renee Young with the fun facts.
Yeah, you are.
bringing the heat.
All right. So we will we'll quickly move past this Ascension match to I thought it was funny that they were promoting something on the live stream, which is, you know, they're still at that point in the network where it's like, we're going to play an old SummerSlam. Check it out. It's playing on Sunday at 8. Like, the fact that they would be promoting.
Yes, they were still watch out of the network at this point.
That sold out to Peacock. We did get a video package basically outlining the feud between CJ Parker and Xavier Woods. We get a lot of CJ Parker, like, environmentalist imagery, I guess, which is a lot of him writing things on cardboard. And I was just immediately thinking, how is this getting a video package? Like, first of all, I thought it was over, and like, what is happening? He continues to talk about the amazing opportunities that Xavier Woods has gotten, which, again, what are all these incredible opportunities? Like that Xavier Woods is like this privileged guy who's been like shoved down our throats. Like, he's gotten this main event push, like, because a poor guy like worked his ass off and got a PhD. Yeah, like as if he was just given that, like,
like his born with a PhD in his mouth. You know what they say. This package had to have been made by a Full Sail student, right? As a class.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
CJ Parker stuff, for sure.
I think he totally made it.
My only other thing that I like about this is that they have to, because it's like the key moment of their feud, they have to constantly keep showing that terrible kick that he hit to the back of his head.
Right?
And like, that did not grace him. Because that's like the key moment, so they have to put it in here, even though it looks like shit. Like, he just kicked him in the top of his hair. Like, but anyway, CJ says that this is just the beginning, which I don't understand, because I thought it was the end. So how's it just the beginning? So
I think you should have said, this is just the middle of our feud.
This is the unneeded middle of our feud.
Unnecessary.
All right, but now we will get to actually see the debut of the recently formed tag team of Mojo Rawley and Bull Dempsey, and they're going to be facing a team that we're introduced to called the Mechanics, who will be making their first appearance on, for our purposes, on this podcast. And obviously, the Mechanics are the team that would eventually become the the Revival, and so that kind of caught me off guard. Obviously, I was not expecting them to just pop up here kind of out of nowhere. So that's kind of like an oh shit moment. They are described as technicians. Get it? Because they're mechanics, technicians. That's what mechanics are. They immediately established their character, though, which I thought was really good. Or at least their, like, their identity as a team, as they definitely go for like the old school style of quick tags and working over a limb. In this case, they go after Mojo's elbow. With quick tags, so that was cool. But Mojo eventually powers out. He tags Big Bull, who finishes with the bulldozer. So the mechanics don't have a particularly impressive debut, as they kind of just get fed to the new team of Mojo and Bull. But in the time they were in there, I thought they looked good. And obviously, we know who they will be, what they will become. So that was kind of exciting, even if the match wasn't that great. I want a star and a quarter. But I did think, too, it was cool to see. Like, you could definitely see a spot for both of these teams. Like, on the very barren tag roster, which was nice to think about having an actual tag division. So that was cool.
I want a star on it. I thought there was just a lot going on here in terms of, okay, we're kicking off this tournament to determine the number one contender for World Tag Team Championships. We got this very ramshackle team that we've just established of Mojo Rawley, Bull Dempsey, and they're going up against a debuting team, actually a named tag team of the Mechanics, who they kind of put over, but then it turns out to be this sort of nothing match. I mean, Dawson and Wilder, they get a little bit of shine, but it's such a short match that it kind of doesn't register that much. And it's just so weird why you would kind of cram all that into just this. I mean, it's not even a tournament match. It's like kind of presented as a qualifying match, right? So it feels like they've somewhat wasted the Mechanics here, who they want to be a thing, I'm guessing, in such a kind of nothing match and getting the, you know, getting beat pretty clean here by Mojo and Bull. So had real mixed feelings about this one, but pretty cool to see Dash and Dawson debuting here in NXT.
I thought it was cool, too. I would have liked to have maybe switched out the Mechanics for the local competitors for the Ascension, right? So have them win over them. And then we're starting the tourney next week. So, you know, we need both of these teams in this tourney. So
you would think, yeah.
Ascension is already golden. We don't need them in here fucking up anybody. So we could slot the Mechanics in and then boom, that gives us two more teams for attorney. But, you know, I'm not the booker here, so I gave this shit 1.5 stars. I like Bull Dempsey, and I enjoy watching him a lot. And, like I said, these guys, the Mechanics are cool, and we deserve to see more of them.
Yeah, the irony of the whole thing is that I think both of these teams would be have better squash matches than Ascension. And they're both teams you need to,
yeah, really.
They're both teams you need to establish, but then they have to go against each other while they essentially do the same boring shit they've been doing forever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because, you know, Bull would, like, wreck some dudes, and then the Mechanics could, like, dissect them. At least that would, like, have some kind of, you know.
Yeah, they could each get over what their
gimmick
is as a team. And it would be far more entertaining and original than the same old bullshit we've seen week in, week out from the Ascension. So I don't get the logic in that.
I even like Jenny's idea, because you could have the and we've seen the Ascension like never, like nobody ever gets an upper hand. So if you have the Mechanics go in there and they still lose, but they at least like look decent for a little bit and like give them a little bit of a challenge. And then you kind of put them in the tournament, like, well, and they could keep going back to like, well, they did give the Ascension a little bit of a run for their money or whatever. But, yeah, all of that would have been probably better. But it was still cool to see the Mechanics in this match. So we at least got that. But after this, we head backstage for an interview with Bayley, who I feel like we haven't seen in a minute. She says she does not want to be a Debbie Downer, but she's happy that the BFFs broke up because they were mean to her. That is like an actual quote. She talks about beating Charlotte when the champ, when she talks about how she beat Charlotte when the champ walks up. Charlotte says that it was one fluke win and it does not get her a title shot, and she doesn't want to humiliate her. And until she becomes genetically superior like Charlotte is, she's not going to be in the same league as her, basically. And then she walks away, and Bayley looks very troubled and intimidated and doesn't say another word. So, What do y'all think of the genetically superior? I feel like we've talked about it a bit before, but they're really starting to push it now. Like anytime they talk about Charlotte, what do y'all think of calling this very tall blonde woman genetically superior?
It's
well, when you say it like that, but I love this. Like, I thought this was an excellent little interaction. Bailey just sounds like a child. You know, she's like, just like, oh, I'm glad they broke up. They treated me like trash. I'm like, whatever. Okay. Anyway, and then Charlotte just sauntering in, like, Bailey's adorable, isn't she? And it just wrecks me. I love her. I love this. This is awesome. This is the Charlotte I want to see.
This early NXT Bailey character continues to make me very uncomfortable.
Yes.
She just seems like somebody who shouldn't be wrestling and is being taken advantage of.
Yes.
But she happens to be kind of like skilled at it, so it's okay. Charlotte, the genetically superior line, it works for a heel, but at the same time, I think it runs the risk of almost taking something away from her, where it almost sounds like, well, I was just born like this. I didn't have to work for it. Like if you read into it, but I get what they're going for, where it's like, this is more like her birthright, you know?
Yeah.
Like, of course I'm a Flair and it just runs in the family, da da da. But I don't know, just the genetically superior, the phrasing of it just sounds kind of, I don't know, a little bit off, where it could have
Nazis.
Certainly, yeah. There's that problem. Yeah. It just has a few problems and can cut different ways. So I don't know. I've always had mixed feelings about that one.
Yeah, it's almost like they could just do a...
Setting aside the eugenics implications.
They can almost do like a show rather than L. I guess they just want to give her like some kind of catchphrase, but honestly, I don't think she really needs it. Because like Jenny said, this was a really good promo. I thought Charlotte was really good here. And I'm excited to see her be able to do stuff like this and not be doing weird Mean Girls.
Yes. Stuff. This is the Char I've been wanting.
Yeah. And she's brought in the ring. So she's, she's got that down. So I'm all in on like dominant champion, talking shit, saying she's better than everybody else.
Telling Bailey to keep her name out of her mouth.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And also, it's funny because Bella's like, they were mean to me, and Charlotte just comes in and is mean to her again.
Yeah, super mean to her and shuts her ass up.
I can
leave her speechless.
Yeah, she just like, her mouth is again.
Badass.
But all right, we will head to our main event now, which was built early in the show, as Natty has been admiring Adam Rose, and Tyson Kidd's not happy about it, so he wants to embarrass Adam Rose. Natty accompanies him to the ring, so this will be a Tyson Kidd match with Natty at ringside. I also like Renee here blowing up, because obviously all they're talking about in kayfabe is their relationship and stuff, like, oh, relationship troubles and Tyson Kidd's mean and this and that. But Renee just basically says, no, they don't have relationship problems. Haven't you watched Total Divas? They're totally fine on there. It's like, you're kind of blown up the spot there, Renee, like breaking the kayfabe. It's like, no, just watch the show. They're fine. Like, they don't fight on the show, which is real life. Like, it's kind of killing the angle here. But
you dumb cut.
She's like, no, they're fine. They don't fight. Haven't you watched Total Divas? Everything's good.
Oh, God.
Like, everybody else on commentary is like, a lot of tension between Natty and Tyson here.
And they're also all kind of like, we don't watch that. Without, like, saying it, you could sort of get that's the implication.
But, so this match, we get Adam Rose quickly goes outside the ring in the early going of the match, and he gives Natty a lollipop. She giggles. She seems to be into it. And this, of course, pisses Tyson off. I like the whole idea that he's like an abusive husband, kind of, but he's kind of like, he's not like a super psychopath.
You like the idea that he's an abusive husband?
No, but like, he's like a, like not, like I had it that he's like a Canadian abusive husband. like, you know, he's just
why
like,
does that make perfect sense to me?
Because, you know, he's just like, hey, I don't like this stuff you've been doing. Like, you know, like
he's just a little bit overbearing about it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's, but the, like, he gives a lollipop. Like, his wife is like, getting the lollipop from another man. And like, battered, he's like, hey, I don't like when you do
battered
that.
Women shelter in Canada because her husband was rude to her.
But not to say that I like that he's abusive.
Such a terrible joke, but I could not make it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not something to joke
sorry
about.
Sorry that I broke me.
It's not something to joke about.
It's not, but...
Okay. All right. Getting back to Canadian abuse, please.
Adam Rose gets a bit of an advantage. He does this thing where he has Tyson in the corner, and he kind of does these mule kicks to him. So just more examples of Adam Rose maybe working in a few more interesting sort of moves into his repertoire. We get a lot of stalling from Tyson as he's starting to get kind of frustrated with Adam Rose and his unorthodox maneuvers, I guess. But he finally goes back in. He gains an advantage. And from this point on, it's pretty much just him grinding down Adam Rose. He throws him into the post a few times. And again, I thought he showed some pretty decent aggression here. Like, he's kind of leaning into that more, which is good. Gives him a little more personality. Finally, he has Adam Rose in a sleeper. Adam Rose breaks the sleeper with a back suplex. And he goes into his choo-choo routine, as I put it. And then he hits yeah, he does his, I don't know what else to call it, his choo-choo train offense. And then he hits a six spine buster. His spine buster is really good. He really throws Tyson into the mat. He gets a pretty good near fall after that. Tyson goes for the sharpshooter, but Adam Rose is able to escape. While he's on the outside, Tyson kicks him in the face. And then he kicks him, he throws Adam Rose back in. But as Tyson Kidd is getting back in, he kind of spends an extra couple seconds jawing at Natty, which causes him to get rolled up. he gets rolled up by Adam Rose and actually loses the match. So obviously he is now going to blame Natty for this. I thought Tyson was pretty good in this one. I thought Adam Rose held up okay in a longer match. There was definitely a lot of stalling and stuff in the first part. The storyline stuff is goofy for sure, but at least the stuff that they did in ring I thought was okay. I think the finish probably gets a better pop if, you know, the match was built better, because it really gets like, it's one of those, you thought it would get a reaction, like they would pop Adam Rose, like getting the upset on him kind of, but it just kind of falls flat. I don't know if just because the match didn't really build it up enough or whatever, but I thought it was an okay match. I went 2 stars on it. Tim, what'd you think?
I thought it was an okay match too, and went 2 stars on it. I wonder where was this offense when Adam Rose was Leo Kruger, right? Remember that experiment very briefly in our early days when he sucked so bad? Yeah, so he's not using much of his party based. I mean, it's still in there, but he's not relying so heavily on his party based offense. He's having more of a quote unquote real match here. And certainly what feels like a pretty big upset win, given how Tyson has been positioned. And wow, this is quite the blow, it feels like, in the fall from grace for old Tyson Kidd now. We'll have to continue to track this, because I'm sure it will be endlessly entertaining. the commentary was pretty insufferable, just with the entire focus being on Tyson and Natty's relationship and their marriage and supposed drama, that I don't know who they think is all that invested in any of this. And even the way that Tyson and Natty walk out to the ring, where they just, you know, arm in arm, kind of grinning at the crowd, like they feel like they are on an entirely that they think they're on an entirely different show, watched by people who are interested in their success or failure one way or another. When Nothing could be further from the truth here. And that may be somewhat by design, that they're just totally, like, oblivious and unself-aware of their own faults. And there just seems like a real easy solution to all of this, which is, why don't these two just stay out of each other's business professionally? Yes. Just, yes, they're married, great, but why do they have to be so intertwined in just everything that they do mm-hmm. on a wrestling show? It just seems one of those very self-solving problems if anybody sat down and thought about it for 2 seconds. It just, I don't know. It's one of those just melodramatic storylines that really strains credibility, even in the context of professional wrestling.
Well, you said it beautifully. Nobody cares about any of their shit. Natty looks good in that dress. That's about it. I don't want her walking down during the entrance with Ty. This is what fucks up his shit. Has he not realized that yet? That her presence there is not good for his matches? Are you a fucking dumbass? Like, why are you allowing her to be there? That being said, it was a pretty good match with Tyson and Rose. I thought Rose bumped around pretty well for Tyson. And I liked when he would chase Rose, like, around on the outside and then, like, slam his head into the post. He did that a couple times. The whole lollipop thing was whatever it was. I'm like, good Jesus Christ, why are we doing this? Because Natty, I mean, like, she's, like, eating it up. And it's like, obviously, mm-hmm. that's going to piss him off. Are you fucking stupid? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just so obvious and transparent, and it takes away from everything. I gave it 2 stars, just like you guys. Can it be over now? Is it over yet?
Doesn't appear that way, does it?
Yeah, because we end with them arguing, so it seems like this will continue as he gives her a stern talking to. Because he's like almost less of an abusive husband, more of like just an annoying like dick.
Yes, like, he's a dude.
He's like just aggravating.
Yes.
She's like, can you just shut up? Like,
they're, you know, it's like they're one of those annoying couples who like a younger couple, you know, like in their early 20s, where they know exactly what pushes each other's buttons and how to avoid it, and they just do it anyway.
Right.
And it's like, what this commentary
is asking for it.
And what this commentary is emphasizing more than anything is they've been together for like a decade. And it's like, why would they interact this way if they weren't actively trying to undermine each other? And I don't think that's what the story is. And I mean, yeah, there are some toxic couples out there that are like that, but you generally don't want to follow them in a entertainment program week after week mm-hmm. after week. It doesn't make for compelling television.
Or you would have to make him, like, I guess to my point, like fully like macho man heel, 80s heel, where he's like right. just straight up like, because then the thing is like you want to see him get beat. Where, like, they're too wishy-washy to where their interactions are just, like, weird and awkward, as opposed to, like, you don't come out, you come out of it like, yeah, he's a dick, but he's not like that, you know? He's more just kind of, like, annoying dick, as opposed to, like, if he was just a full-on dick, you'd be like, okay, I just want to see him get his ass beat, because, you know, they should almost, it's almost like they're trying to be subtle with it, which they shouldn't be, because it's not working.
No.
I mean, you see why she would be upset when he blows up at her, but you also see why he gets so annoyed with her being at ringside and doing some of these things that don't really enhance like his performance, so to speak. So why is this so obvious to us but not to them? Because it's a badly written wrestling show, you know? It's like that's what it comes down to.
Eating lollipops with a man who, like, clearly is having orgies with his furry friends. And he's like, I'm not comfortable with this.
I'm not Tyson's comfortable. Such a lemon.
It'll be such a lemon. All right. So
also, and not in this match, but maybe on the, I think in the match with Sammy, he got a Tyson chicken chant by the crowd, which, ooh, that's up there, huh? Tyson
chicken. So, I think he also gets a Natty's Better chant, which I'm sure ruffled his feathers real good. But that will wrap up this final episode of NXT. I thought this one, I think I'm leading in the 5 out of 10. I really liked the women's match with Becky and Charlotte. The debut of the Mechanics, even though it wasn't like a great match, it was still, that was a cool moment to see them debut, even if it was kind of, you know, wasn't anything spectacular. And then the main event, even with the storyline issues, was still a pretty decent match for a main event. So I went 5 out of 10 on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you too. 5 out of 10 for me. That thank God for the women's match, kind of saved this show a little bit. And that Charlotte promo, of course.
Yeah, I gave the last one a, 3.5, I guess. Mm-hmm. So this is where I'll give it the 4. So I'm a little bit lower than you guys, but better than our middle episode.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with that, we will get to our awards. Best match. I think star rating wise, I had Sammy and
Tyson
Kidd. I think I'm going to go with Charlotte and Becky just because, I don't know. I just really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, you know, star rating wise, mine is the same, but I'm going to do the same and go with Charlotte and Becky.
I'm not going to make it 3 for 3. I'll go ahead and give it to Tyson and Sammy.
All right. Worst match, I just have basically all the Ascension squash matches like rolled up into a ball.
And the Tyler ones.
That's a different ball. I mean, honestly, Big Cass and Enzo versus Vaudevillains, I gave a dud, so that's my lowest rating. Least watchable is probably some of the Ascension stuff.
Yeah. Jenny went scorched earth on those squash matches on this one.
She really did.
Like, I'm done.
The duds are coming out.
The whole rest of our podcast here is going to be interesting.
Rising, I have Ed Charlotte. Even though she's been pretty highly positioned, I think she's still elevating. And definitely Becky. I mean, huge turnaround from where she was last time we talked about her.
I would add Adam Rose to that.
Mm. Yeah, I think you kind of have to add Adam Rose. I would agree. I'll add Sasha. Mm-hmm. Not that she did anything tremendous, but picked up a decent singles win.
And Kalisto, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Kalisto.
And always Road to Paloma.
Yes.
Rising. The Forever Rising.
Yes. Paloma.
My falling, I have Summer, CJ Parker, and I guess the Tyson, Natalya, their whole drama.
Yeah.
For me.
Tyson losing back-to-back in a really bad angle on top of it doesn't look good for him. So he's definitely falling for certain. I don't know. Mojo in some respects getting jobbed out like that to Tyler Breeze. But maybe they're just resetting with them with the tag stuff. Sort of a wash, I guess, at the end of the day. Mojo Rawley is.
Jason Jordan, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's safe story.
Kicking a man when he's down.
Sorry about it.
It's not like he had the It's not like he got repackaged in the way that Mojo did.
So. Right.
Poor Jordan. The two men referred to as local competitors by the commentary. My MVP, I had Charlotte for MVP.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, she looked good. LVP, I think I could either go Ascension in one mind, but if I'm looking at somebody who like was in a supposed to be in a real match and just got exposed, I would probably say Summer Rae.
I want to say the Ascension because I don't like them. but I have to admit that they do have some value that they could confer just in the form of dropping the titles to somebody eventually. So by default, I guess I can't say they are the least valuable. But who is? I mean, probably CJ Parker.
Brutal. Yeah. Can I say Renee?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. It's Renee.
I might change my answer, actually.
Name one valid point that she made in any of the commentary. I'll wait.
Yeah. There's nothing. I'm not going to be able to.
Her voice screeches and she makes stupid points.
sucks.
I would have to go back to my notes to see if I could find any salient Renee Young points, but I would think there's probably not a bunch. Best moment. I guess it'll go with the Charlotte promo, I guess. I'm trying to think if there's anything better than that. I don't think.
I popped for Tyler's insult about the Hobbit movie.
Oh, yeah. That's that was a good fun promo, too. Yeah.
Saying his match was annoying.
Yes.
I guess the backstage Charlotte Bailey mean girl exchange kind of worked for me. I mean, best moment, honestly, is picturing Natty having to visit the women's shelter because her husband was slightly on the rude side to her in a match. But that's not keeping it kayfabe.
No.
Because her husband took a lollipop from her.
No, she took a lollipop from another man.
Yeah, I guess she got to keep it, didn't she?
Well, that wraps up these three episodes of NXT. What do we got in the hopper, guys? What do we have going on? Jen, what you got?
Welp, I have a podcast feed. It's called The Jenny Position. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but right now you can find a new Journey Through Infinity episode where we talked about Doctor Strange. So that's a good one. One of our best, I think. Coming up soon, you can hear an episode of Bianca's First Time where we watched Mrs. Doubtfire. Quite a different experience as an adult versus a child. Was not ready for that live watch. Not a great live watch, if I'm being honest, because it's a movie. And, Bianca and I both go through some traumatic experiences watching that. So if you get a wild hair, listen to that one.
I
have a new show on the feed too. It's called Hot Tokes. So me and my friend Vanessa Shark from Twitter are both weed enthusiasts, and we decided to start a podcast about marijuana. Our first episode sort of just as a primer, like introduces us and our habits, and we will get into more fun subjects like the history of weed, different strains, different edibles, everything that you can think of to do with marijuana. So even if you're not 420 friendly, it's still a fun listen, entertaining and educating. Also, I have my wrestling shows here on the Place B Nation feed. So you can find Talking WCW, new episode of that coming soon as well. And Jenny and the Gems, we had an episode a couple of weeks ago that was really good. Also on the North South Connection podcast feed, I have TNA Never Dies and the Extreme Three-Way Dance. If you want to hear more of my absolutely fantastic wrestling takes, also at Jenny Position on Twitter.
Excellent. So, the other wrestling show that you and I do together, Jenny, you mentioned it. It's called Talkin' WCW. We got a new episode of that coming pretty soon. And that's going to focus on His Lordship, Stephen Regal in WCW. I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got our matches picked out. I'm going to chat some Regal. That's going to be coming your way. Place to be Nation Wrestling real soon. I also do the Journey Through Infinity with you on the Jenny Position. We also allegedly have a podcast called Talk and Pop that we will do an episode again one day. Yep. And that's a great committed plug, I know. Mm-hmm. On the North South Connection podcast feed, we do a comics-themed show with our friend Sean Kidd. It is called Shrink Wrapped, The Psychology of Superheroes. And a timely episode this month on Shrink Wrapped, looking at The Vision and Scarlet Witch original limited series from Marvel, four issues from 1982. So if you're fans of those characters, fans of comics, fans of WandaVision, check that out. I thought we had a pretty good time breaking all that down. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-68 on Twitter.
Very good. So after watching those Regal matches, how do you think he compares to Summer Rae as like a mat-based wrestler? Like working holds and stuff?
You know, it's tough. He does use quite a bit of stretching-based offense, similar to Summer Rae, but she may have the edge just in terms of her gymnastics-based offense as well. So, I don't know. They're real. Like, they're kind of neck and neck.
I feel like Regal has better tits.
Okay. Wow.
He's a busty man. as for myself, you can find me on this feed, on the Place of Nation Wrestling feed. I do Highway to the Impact Zone with Logan, which is a fun journey. And also you can find me on the North South Connection feed, where I do the Ruthless Aggressive podcast, going through the Ruthless Aggression era. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me and for us here. I want to thank all the hypothetical listeners for listening to this hypothetically. Please make sure you stay hyped at all times. Stay hyped. Whether it be, you know, whatever your hype is, make sure you stay. You know, whatever your hype space is, you know, to each their own, make sure you stay hyped. But we have been PTBNXT. I hope you enjoyed our wonderful podcast. I hope it wasn't annoying, like Tyler Breeze thinks of his own matches. So, peace out.
PTB NXT has left the building.
I was once out strolling one very hot summer's day, when I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass. I lay there in the sun and felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep and dreamed. I dreamed I was in a Hollywood movie, that I was the star of the movie. This really blew my mind, the fact that me, an overfed, long-haired, leaping gnome, should be the star of a Hollywood movie. But there I was. I was taken to a place, the Hall of the Mountain King.
every kind of girl. There was long ones, tall ones, short ones, brown ones, black ones, round ones, big ones, crazy ones. Out of the middle came a lady. She whispered in my ear something crazy. She said, feel hot flames of fire roaring at my back. As she disappeared, but soon she returned. In her hand was a bottle of wine, in the other a glass. She poured some of the wine from the bottle into the glass, raised it to her lips, and just before she drank it, she said, take it away.